So, welcome to our Good Friday devotions and our prayers as we gather, and as you gather wherever you are, to offer your own prayers and worship to the one who died for us and for the whole of creation. As you see, I have come again to the church to offer these devotions, and there's a quietness and a solitude about this place as I gather here. In our devotions for today, I want us to focus on the final seven words of Jesus spoken on the cross. When Danny and I were talking about what we would do for our Holy Week services, and I was going to look after Good Friday service anyway, and I was thinking to do something on the seven words. This service has been used throughout the world for a long, long time as Christians reflect on these final seven words of Jesus spoken on the cross. As I've done a little reflection on each of these seven sayings, seven words on the cross, and each of these reflections begin with a word beginning with the letter F. I've tried to sort of keep it so that it's memorable in some way for you. And so we come to God in prayer on this Good Friday. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you suffered for us on Good Friday, you spoke your word of grace and truth into the world. Help us so to meditate on your seven words from the cross, that we may perceive more deeply the wonder of our redemption for your love and mercy's sake. Amen. So the first word from the cross is from Luke 23, beginning to read at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." So the first F here is forgiveness. How many times should I forgive? 70? 70 times 7? We know the conversation well, and it reminds us again of the fact that forgiveness should have no limitations. That we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. But forgiveness is hard, isn't it? It's natural for us in our humanity to want to retaliate, to want to get revenge, or at least some kind of vindication. Jesus was innocent, yet was being treated as a criminal. No doubt there have been times when we have perhaps inadvertently caused pain to others. Just like all these people around the cross, they didn't know what was happening and what they were doing. Perhaps And so often it's the case where we haven't had all the facts. We've been ignorant in some way. We didn't know what we were doing. But here we see the heart of Jesus. That through his enduring agony, his desire was to seek forgiveness because he knew only too well the people's ignorance. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your hour of agony, you asked your Father's forgiveness for those who caused you pain. Give us strength to love our enemies and bless our persecutors, that we may reflect your love to those around us. For your mercy's sake. Amen. The second word from the cross is from Luke 23 and at verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The second F is for fairness. I hate seeing injustice in the world. It really disturbs me, and it should all of us. There's even now on death row in some states in America who then have their convictions overturned because of new evidence and are set free. But what about all those people who have not had the chance to prove their innocence and have then been killed on the electric chair? Where is justice? Where is fairness for them? The conversation between the two criminals crucified either side of Jesus raises the issue of fairness. One criminal says that they are getting what their crimes deserved. I'm not sure that's wholly accurate either. Crucifixion was such horror and such agony. We know that Jesus was the only person who ever lived who was without sin. And in seeing the lack of fairness in the situation, this one criminal asks Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom and is then promised by Jesus that he will be with him in paradise. Yes, living in the kingdom of God involves seeking fairness in this life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you spoke in love to the thief who asked to be remembered in your kingdom. Speak the words of eternal life to all who are sincerely penitent, with the assurance of being with you in paradise. For your mercy's sake. Amen. The third word from the cross is from John 19 and at verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The third F stands for family. I'm blessed, and I know I'm blessed, to have grown up in a loving family and continue to be part of a loving family circle. My upbringing was nothing but loving and kind. And whilst many of us have had such experiences, it's not the case for everyone, is it? There's plenty of people for whom their parents were not loving and were not kind. And there have been people who have taken the parental role and have been more loving parents than their biological ones. We are grateful that we have people around us who are family, either blood relatives or family by choice. Even on the cross, Jesus was concerned about his mother. May we never take for granted those around us who offer that love and support and care, and to whom we in turn offer love, support and care. And be thankful to God for each one. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your mother stayed by your side faithfully to the end, and you, in the midst of your agony, cared for her. Help us, even when we suffer ourselves, to see and feel the needs of others and to act in love towards them, for your mercy's sake. Amen. The fourth word from the cross is from Mark chapter 15 and at verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." The fourth F is forsaken. In the darkest hours of his suffering, Jesus cried out the opening words of Psalm 22. And although much has been suggested regarding the meaning of this phrase, it's quite apparent the agony felt by Jesus as he expressed this separation from his Father. Here we see the Father turning away from the Son as Jesus bore the full weight of the sin of the world. One of the most awful and harrowing aspects of the coronavirus is that individuals are not able to be with their loved ones in their final moments. They must feel alone, experiencing that separation from family and friends. And we pray that in those moments when they feel alone, they will know God's presence. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you bore our sins in your body on the tree. You knew the deep darkness of abandonment. Help us to know your presence when we feel forsaken, and the wonderful truth that we who were far off have been brought close by your redeeming blood for your mercy's sake. Amen. The fifth word from the cross is from John chapter 19 and at verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. The fifth F is fulfilled. Jesus utters these words, which are a direct quote from Psalm 69, verse 21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. This is yet another example of Jesus fulfilling what had already been talked about. All that was happening was according to God's plan. At Christmas time, we read passages from the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. But we also read about the Messiah's death, that it was a fulfillment of prophecy. In Jesus, God was fulfilling his promises to his creation. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you thirsted physically on the cross, that our spiritual thirst might be quenched. Draw us ever deeper into the living wells of our salvation, that we may long more and more for the things of the Spirit, for your mercy's sake. Amen. The sixth word from the cross is from John 19 and at verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day it was to be the special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he had already died, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. The sixth F is finished. Jesus knew he was suffering this crucifixion for a purpose. Earlier he said, and we find it in John 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." These words, "it is finished," were packed with meaning. For what was finished here was not simply Christ's earthly life, not only his suffering and dying, not only the payment for sin and the redemption of the world, but the very reason and purpose that he came to earth. It was now finished. His final act of obedience was complete. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you were obedient to the very end and completed on the cross the plan of salvation. Help us to rejoice in the victory of your finished work and to live out your will and purpose to the end of our days. For your mercy's sake. Amen. The seventh word from the cross then comes from Luke chapter 23 and at verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. The seventh F, then, is final. In speaking to the Father here, Jesus closes with the words of Psalm 31, verse 5. We see his complete trust in his Father. Jesus entered death in the same way he lived each day of his life, offering up his life as the perfect sacrifice and placing himself in God's hands. Final words are often important. John Wesley's final words were said to be the best of all: "God is with us." If you had a choice of what your final words will be, what would you choose to say? For Jesus, he had been obedient to his Father's will, and he was committing his spirit into the Father's hands. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your last word from the cross, you commended your spirit to the Father. Help us to end our days in the secure knowledge of your love, that whether dying or living, we may be safe in his eternal arms, for your mercy's sake. Amen. And so on this Good Friday, we close with a final prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we remember today the pain and suffering of the cross and all that Jesus was willing to endure so that we could be set free. He paid the price with such a great sacrifice to offer us the gift of eternal life. Help us never to take for granted this huge gift of love on our behalf. Help us to be reminded of the cost of it all. Forgive us for being too busy or distracted by other things, for not fully recognizing what you freely given, what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. Thank you that because of your huge sacrifice, we can live free. Thank you that sin and death have been conquered. Thank you that we can say with great hope, "It is finished," for we know what's still to come, that death has lost its sting. And we praise you for making all things new. Lord, we also pray for others, especially for the worldwide church on this Good Friday, that all who are disciples of Jesus will be given the grace and strength they need to walk in the way of the cross, speaking words of love and truth in places of hatred and lies. We pray for God's world on this Good Friday, that the dying Jesus on the cross and the living Jesus of resurrection will draw all people to himself, the source of eternal reconciliation and salvation. We pray for the communities in which we live, work and worship, that bonds of love within families and between friends will be healed where they are broken and strengthened where they are weak. We pray for all those who are experiencing their own Good Friday darkness, that all who suffer pain of body or mind will be held by the hands of Jesus, which bears the marks of his pain and the promise of restoration and resurrection. Heavenly Father, at the foot of the cross on which Jesus died, we offer you these prayers in hope, trusting in your promise to hear us and in your power which raised Jesus from the dead. Let your grace, mercy, love, and peace surround us and all those for whom we have prayed. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it to be the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.